This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, one way or another, World Series will be over. Baseball season will be over by this time next week.
Ooh, tough to stomach.
And a couple days after that, free agency will begin. This week, I would like to turn some of our attention toward, you know, potential targets for the Padres this offseason. Jim Bowden from The Athletic came out with his top 45 free agents around baseball, including guys he thought teams would be targeting. The Padres name does come up a few times, mostly with some pitchers, but definitely something we can chat about this week as we go forward and get ready for the offseason, which truly will be underway 1 week from today.
Yeah.
Could be underway as soon as tomorrow night.
It's hard to believe.
Which is kind of crazy.
It's hard to believe.
But if the Dodgers win the next two, it's over, and the offseason begins Wednesday morning officially.
Woo! Man. Busy week here on Ben and Woods. We got the Halloween show on Thursday. We'll have a birthday celebration on Friday.
Seems like this was always my problem when I was a kid.
Yeah.
My birthday and Halloween were too close together.
Okay, so I get it from the perspective of if you have one close to Christmas.
My brother-in-law, December 26th. Just
that's
not
the biggest drag of all time. That's such a drag. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, by the way, happy birthday. You know, it's not even about the gifts and stuff. It's more about, like, you know, that your parents are like, oh my God, we just put the tree away. We just cleaned all this crap up, and now we got to drag a cake out.
You're the only one who puts the tree away on December 25th.
You're never able to have a birthday party on your birthday.
Yeah, never. No one wants to do it.
You're not having a bunch of kids over.
No,
or anything
everyone's
like that.
With their families and stuff.
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one. But why Halloween?
It's not. I mean, it wasn't a why. It just felt like everything about that season was, you know, it was focused in on Halloween, as it should be. That's what everyone was thinking about. So, you know, just my birthday was
an afterthought.
A little bit.
Well, it was such an afterthought last year that Paul and I actually forgot it.
Until after.
We halfway through the show, you went to break, and you said, I need to bring something up next. I'll never forget. We need to pull the audio.
That hasn't been mentioned.
That hasn't been mentioned, and I actually feel a little awkward about it. And I, for the life of me, I had no idea what the hell
was
talking
about.
Now,
that was last year. It was my actual birthday.
On your birthday.
This year, my birthday falls on a weekend.
Correct.
So we won't be celebrating on the actual day. In fact, you can make the argument Monday is closer to my birthday than Friday.
It is, but we're going to do it on Friday.
Okay.
Because Friday is the loose fun, and expect some.
Fair enough.
Expect some.
I also agree that once your birthday is over, it's kind of over.
To go back and do it. Yeah. Expect some fun. Some fun on Friday. Be ready.
After fun on Thursday, on Halloween.
Yeah, we're going to
still don't know what my costume is going to be.
Which is always a fun thing when you have no idea what you're dressing as. But you know that you will be dressed up.
Is there anything I need, like base, like colors to wear underneath or anything?
No.
Sometimes that's important with costumes. Sometimes it's not.
Wear jeans.
Jeans.
Wear jeans that
jeans.
Day.
Jeans, okay.
Yeah, wear jeans.
I rarely wear jeans in the morning, but I do own jeans.
Your birthday is actually on the 3rd, which is on Sunday.
Correct.
Somebody was asking in the chat. I had to look in my calendar because I do forget it. As you know.
Apparently.
As you know. But we'll be celebrating on Friday. Friday the 1st.
You want to, let's play the whole thing maybe on Friday.
Yeah.
This is how we went to commercial break on in the 8 o'clock hour last year, November 3rd.
It was really good. Really, really good.
I have a dilemma.
Okay.
And I don't know how to handle it. Because I don't want to come off seeming
Viagra.
Like a jerk.
No,
that's not a dilemma.
Therapy.
That's more
Viagra,
of a,
actually, Paulie.
That's a condition.
After a while,
yeah, it stops working.
Stops working.
I know. I've heard what's.
You
that.
Need the blood to push through.
West Coast Men's Health.
Because I feel like I'm gonna look bad here when we come back.
Oh,
let's,
God.
Let's break a little bit early.
I don't know what this is, and I'm sick to my stomach.
I feel like you two are also gonna look bad.
Oh, good.
And we're all gonna look bad.
That.
When I bring up what I'm going to bring up in
I don't
just a
like,
second.
Why don't you just go home for
I don't day. Like when he springs things on us.
I don't.
This is how he feels every day.
Oh, no.
Well, I've been waiting for something for 2 hours and 12 minutes, and it hasn't happened yet.
NFL talk?
We'll come back next. Ben Woods.
NFL talk?
Check of traffic. Be right back here on 97.3 The Fan.
And then we went to commercial break, and then Ben had a live read, a commercial there. And that's when it clicked, and I go.
Called me
I
over.
Like waved Woods over. I'm like,
in the middle.
Get over here. I'm like, is it his effing birthday today? And we just...
I go, oh no. It was. It is. And it was. There it was.
Glory birthday hole.
Birthday
there
hole.
It was. Glory hole.
Yeah. Lack of glory that
maybe,
day.
Maybe this year.
Maybe this year. Put that in the notes.
It's not my costume.
There it was.
No, sorry. Hope. No, but that we could maybe arrange that on Friday if Adam would let us. I don't know how he feels about that.
I don't know.
We can check it out.
All right. Well, we have some fun to look forward to at the end of this week, apparently.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna be good.
Right now, though, Paulie, if you would.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, Biot?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3, The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Oh, yeah.
All right.
There's the glory hole.
There it is.
Oh, all right. Good morning, Woods and Ben's glory hole.
Good morning.
Let's see. I got two stories here from the world of sports. And the first one is definitely for Ben. Put that away.
Put it away.
Put your glory hole away. First story is for Ben. Now, to start our 8 o'clock hour, just an hour ago, we were talking about Monday Night Football versus Game 3 of the World Series and the TV ratings, how your average run-of-the-mill Monday Night Football game will torch just about any baseball game, even if it's a dramatic, storybook-filled
World Series game. I mean, if it went to a Game 7 and it was on Monday, what Game 7? No, Game 7 wouldn't even be on Monday. It would be on Saturday.
It would
still
lose to Giants Steelers.
Yeah.
Did you realize tonight is the rare sports equinox?
Ah, that's right. Woodsy, what does that mean?
No idea. I feel like you guys explain this to me every year, and I always
forget. It doesn't happen every year.
Because it doesn't.
It's happened more recently, though, with regularity because of the earlier NBA and the later baseball. And
there's only been 31 times in history that this has happened.
All four major sports playing on the same day.
Yes.
There you go.
And killer. It's the only one that will happen this year, and it's even whatever's a bonus equinox, because, yes, you will have Monday Night Football. You will have Game 3 of the World Series. You will have 11 NBA games tonight, and you will have 8 regular season NHL games.
Nice.
You also get 2 MLS playoff games.
Wow.
So
okay.
All 5 major sports.
Yeah, the big 5, as they call it.
Just no college football tonight.
Yeah,
pretty much. It's the only sport that's not going.
That's amazing.
Yeah, only 31 times this has ever happened.
Boy, I'm going to be flipping like crazy tonight.
Keeping tabs.
No,
on
I won't.
That,
you need me to come install a couple
Red
new TVs
Wings,
for you.
Carolina Hurricanes matchup.
I like the Red Wings tonight.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that one, Benny. Okay.
It's like Scorigami. He gets very excited.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he loves Scorigami.
He skips into the studio.
Is it worrisome that I worry they're going to run out of Scorigami? It's like every score is going to be done at some point, and then I won't have ever Scorigami to look forward to.
Like when Bo is your age, is Scorigami over?
I mean, it's going to come down to 8-4 in an NFL game or something.
4 safeties or something.
You're going to have to have a lot of safeties to get new Scorigami.
Yeah, it's going
to
be tough.
All right, we're going to switch over to some NFL here. We've got some post-game audio from Trayvon Diggs.
It's pretty great.
Member of the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I'm trying to figure out. There is a sports anchor named Mike Leslie in the Dallas area, WFAA. I don't know which affiliate that is out there in Dallas, but he's the Ben of Dallas. He's a sports television anchor reporter, and he posted on X a highlight from the game against the 49ers, and he said what is Trayvon Diggs doing on this play?
Yeah.
And the play shows Diggs, I don't know, half-assing it, running it like 50%, and he was confronted, the reporter was confronted by Trayvon Diggs.
So, Paulie, that
after the game.
Was that clip was a clip from the current game that he just played in, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he posts a video and said, what is he doing on this play here?
Earned by George Kittle, I think it was, and he just says, what is Trayvon Diggs doing on this play? And Trayvon Diggs somebody must have shown that to him, because he's still in full pads.
Full gear, yeah.
you know, there's the like the tunnel underneath the stadium
sure.
that all the reporters will wait in before the big swinging doors open up to the locker room, and then the reporters can all come in and ask their questions. They're all still in like corralled in the tunnel, and Trayvon Diggs comes out in full pads, and somebody else nearby starts filming this interaction between Mike Leslie, the sports reporter, and Trayvon Diggs. And here's how it sounded.
How that whole play after you took from that? You don't know football. You can't do nothing that I do. You can't go out there and do nothing. Stay in your lane, buddy. Stop playing me, bro.
Just asking a question, Trayvon. I mean, I'm happy to have you answer the question.
How that whole play, that's what you took from that? That's what you got from that? That whole play, that's what you got from that?
I'm asking.
We can talk about it more. What were you doing there?
Talk about what?
Did you hear that?
I did.
We can talk about it.
That's what you got from that. That whole play, that's what you got from that.
I'm asking.
We can talk about it more. What were you doing?
He said, we can talk about it more. And as Trayvon Diggs is walking back into the Cowboys locker room, he says, talk about these nuts.
These nuts. Got him.
I'm watching the play. He's literally Cadillacing.
Most people agreed. Not just this one TV reporter, but most people agree. Now, Cadillacing on a play is going to happen with a lot of guys
sure.
all the time. And you can't, you know, you're just asking a question. What bothered me about that is when an athlete goes, well, you can't do it, so you can't ask me about it. I know I can't do it. I know, but my job is still to ask you questions about you doing it. It's actually my job in the media to ask you questions about what you're doing. And because I can't do what you're doing, you know, doesn't mean that I can't ask you a question about it. If that was true, no one could ever ask Michael Jordan a question about anything ever. Even his fellow players who couldn't do what he did.
It does.
Literally no one would be eligible to ask Michael Jordan a question.
It would get annoying. I can't deny that it would get annoying. It would. It'd be annoying to be a big league manager, right?
Yeah.
The most annoying. It'd be annoying to be a cornerback that you know, kind of he took a different route to the play, thought his fellow defender had Kittle under wraps, kind of was late to the play, you know, but I looked at that play, Ben, you know what I do realize? Yes, Mike Leslie was doing his job, but out of everything that happened, it wasn't a play that was so egregious that warranted maybe a
Fair,
tweet about
but,
it.
But the right way to handle that if the player, either you go, yeah, maybe not my finest moment. I actually got confused on this or
yeah.
something happened. And, you know, I'll try to be better going forward. Whatever. You can own it without making yourself look like a fool. But I don't like going, hey, you can't do that. So you have no qualifications
right.
to ask me the question about what happened on that play.
Yeah, because if that's the case, we all need to pack it up and go home
right,
right now. We have no business being here, which a lot of people think.
Those are the qualifications to talk about
the
sport.
You're absolutely right.
I mean, I can't hit 101 mile an hour fastball.
I can't throw 75. I mean, what are we talking about here? Yeah, it's tough. Tough look. I do like the, let's talk about these nuts, though. Always down for that. Let me get to me one more time.
We can talk about it more. What were you doing?
Talk about these nuts. Funny.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I would laugh if somebody said that to me. If I went up to
clever repartee.
Yeah. If I went up to Crony and was like, what the hell happened there on that ground ball? He's like,
What
can't field a ground ball either. You're like, well, can we talk about it? Well, talk about these nuts. I would pee my pants from laughing, dude. It'd be the greatest thing of all time.
All right.
Dallas, though, but think about what's been going on in Dallas. I mean, losing breeds contempt. And there's a lot of contempt from the fans, the media, Jerry Jones going on.
The final score last night
was
not indicative of the game.
No,
the 49ers,
dominated.
Who have not been good at all, still dominated the Cowboys, who were coming off right a bye and a huge loss to the Lions. I mean, they are a problematic organization right now.
No question.
Did you see what happened to Jerry's, was it his daughter and son-in-law or something? They like... We're pulling into Levi's Stadium. I guess Jerry was in the car, and then the second car, they were following in. But those barriers, like, that, you know, that come up out of the ground, like,
No.
Came up on them, tipped over their car, and like they were both injured. They had to be like treated. They did end up going to the game, but yeah, kind of a scary moment for the Jones family.
Here's an interesting topic we should couch, but it came in the chat. Hans says athletes are so soft in social media age, and I think that's an interesting topic to discuss because I certainly realize that it's different now. Back in the day, per se, they actually could live their lives a little bit easier and more free than they are able to now. Does that make them soft? Or, I don't know. I mean, some guys handle it obviously better than
some
others.
Some aren't.
Yeah, it's a good point.
To each his own social media skills. Sure. Some do it quite well. And others, it can be problematic at times.
No doubt.
You know, thinking of like Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
you KD. Know, got two rabbit ears for some of the stuff that goes toward him that he should just be ignoring, I think, on social media. But for sometimes it's hard for people to ignore things.
You want everybody to like you.
All right, finally,
I don't care anymore.
Wrap it up quickly here. It's happening again, guys.
What
is Hollywood? Another movie that doesn't need to be remade is getting a sequel.
Wait.
Not a remake.
Okay, not a remake.
But a sequel.
A sequel. All right. A sequel is different to me than a remake.
It's in the same neighborhood, though.
It's in the same neighborhood.
When it's been 25 years... We're just reaching. We have no more original ideas.
It was a pretty mid movie to begin with.
See, and I was questioning about whether or not to even bring it up, but once you guys at least Wood said that he had watched it, I was like, all right, we can talk about it. We're talking about Blue Streak, the movie with Martin Lawrence from 1999, Luke Wilson, Dave Chappelle. I watched it again last night after I saw this story. It's a very funny movie.
Did you laugh? Yes.
Oh,
you had to explain the plot to me, which I thought was fascinating.
Yeah,
for people
Martin
who haven't
Lawrence
seen the movie, explain
is,
the plot.
He's a jewel thief. He steals a jewel, and he's running from the cops after he steals the jewel, and he hides it in the air ducts of a building going up still. It was still being built. He gets caught. He tapes it up inside the air duct. He gets caught. He goes to prison for, I don't know, call it 5 years. When he gets out, he's going to go back into the building, climb into the air ducts,
just
get
go
the
get
diamond.
It.
Problem is, that building became an LAPD headquarters. So he dresses up, he gets a badge made,
fake ID,
and he becomes a cop because he needs to get into the building and get that diamond. It's a very funny movie.
There's some funny ass
parts. It was pretty off the radar, I would imagine, back in 99. And Martin Lawrence is set to create a sequel for it now, and there's really no other details other than it's his production company putting it together. No idea if Luke Wilson or Dave Chappelle or any of the other characters are going to be in there.
This quote. The question is moot. I don't know, man. There were so many unanswered questions left from Blue Streak 1.
I'm telling you again, I watched it last night. I watched the entire movie. There wasn't a single question afterwards. It ended. It was fine. It's all good.
You're not going to believe this, but I robbed another jewelry store.
I left yet
another diamond in a building that's going to be under construction.
It's a fire department.
This time, it's an FBI
agency.
Like, I get it because, you know, I was 9 when that movie came out. But if you were 15 to 20 years old, you watched the movie. Now you're that millennial audience is the wide audience that's spending the majority of the money these days. So all these
questions.
Actors are coming up with, hey, let's make a sequel that nobody asked for. Let's redo this.
I hit it in the White House. Now I have to be elected president.
Have you guys seen the previews for Gladiator 2?
I finally saw one
over the weekend, and I didn't know how to feel. I think I'm in. I think that I'm in.
Denzel Washington?
Denzel's in it. I'm in, I think.
I don't know. I always deluded myself into thinking the first Gladiator was somehow historically accurate.
So
I can't really make the sequel to it, even though I know it's not.
There's no Russell Crowe, so that's, you know, this is a different scene, I guess, from that time period.
Right.
So
just more gladiators.
More gladiatoring. I always say the more gladiators, the better. You like gladiator films, Tommy. The first reviews have said it was good. Okay, I'll probably check that out. I really liked the first one a lot.
Speaking of Denzel, I watched
it. Oh, it's Maximus' son? I thought he was killed.
They can always work.
Father to a murdered
son. The
son
he didn't know he had.
Oh, okay. An illegitimate child, something like perhaps.
That. Sure.
I mean, it's 2024. I was flipping the guide on Saturday. Training Day was on.
Oh,
instant stop.
Elite.
It's one of my favorite movies. You know what I don't need 25 years later? Training Day 2.
Part 2. Ethan Hawke's kid
right.
meets Denzel's son.
I just gave somebody an idea.
Then again, I didn't think we needed Top Gun 2. It was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Who knows?
Damn,
rare exception.
Adam says Blue Streak made over $100 million on a $35 million budget.
It's incredible.
How old is Martin Lawrence now?
He's got to be 65. He looks great, dude.
I thought he had a health scare.
He had a big, bad
Will
health
Smith
scare.
Was like literally holding him up for like a press tour for the new Bad Boys.
All right, I'm in.
He's 59 years old.
59, okay. I'll go see it. I'll see Blue Streak, too. Why not?
All right, take a quick timeout. We will come back. Still have to look ahead. Game 3 of the World Series. Pretty much must win for the New York Yankees. It's Ben and Woods back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Did have what I understand is some fairly big soccer news this morning. Woods, I don't know that either you nor I will find this to be earth-shattering, but Manchester United fired their coach, or as they say in soccer, sacked their manager, Erik ten Hag, after a 2-1 loss upset against West Ham United. Oof. Interesting, because they had just extended his contract in the summer, but they had just 4 wins in their first 13 games to start the new English Premier League season. So fairly big name in the world of soccer coaching out at Old Trafford.
It's a tough scene when you re-up someone and then end up firing them. How many games in?
13.
13 games.
Yeah.
So maybe this wasn't the right decision.
That's about all the commentary I can offer, other than knowing that that's like worldwide. That's what everyone's buzzing about, you know. Far shores of the globe, sports fans, this morning is the Manchester United news.
Well, I'll be heading to Manchester, as you know.
That's right.
In about 9 months, I'm counting the days.
Manchester United's the red team.
And
Manchester
City's
the light blue team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think all you need to know.
Now, I'm wondering, is the season going on then, next July 19th?
It will be. I believe, yes.
If they're home, I have to try to go, right? I have to try to see.
There, I think either one. You could probably go see a fun, get the real experience
of
a top Premier League side at home.
The whole scene.
You could be a hooligan, I think.
I think I already am one.
I mean, you'd fit right in with the hooligans.
Is that just a general name?
Yeah, for soccer fans who also are troublemakers.
Now, somebody right here says it ends in May, so you don't know what you're talking about.
It ends in May.
Yeah.
Well, when does it start? It's like it gets going. Yeah, it's true. The summer is when they do their tours around the world and stuff.
Maybe I go do a tour of Man City's place.
Because that was when Manchester United came here, like last July or something, and made the visit. That's a good point.
No,
I kind of forget what. I thought it was like May right now, and July is coming up. It's only October.
It's your birthday this week.
Yeah,
so.
I'm totally lost on the calendar. I should know. Basketball season's underway. Did basketball Woods? Have you watched a second of the NBA season so far? Let me just ask.
Oh yeah, I have.
You have watched some. What did you watch?
I watched the Lakers game.
Which one?
The first one.
The first one.
Yeah. Okay. Opening night.
Opening night.
But not since then.
Huh.
They've actually gotten off to a really good start.
Well,
3-0.
I don't think anybody cares, but I do. I haven't even gotten to watch football.
Yeah, I know.
Dad stuff, I wasn't
expecting to watch a bunch of basketball. So that's okay.
Dad stuff's taking over right now.
But as the resident Lakers fan of the program, nice job by J.J. Redick so
great
far.
Great job. 3-0, right?
LeBron James continues to defy.
He's going to go right into it. Probably.
Age. Did you see what he did on Saturday? 16 points in 3 minutes in the fourth quarter.
LeBron did?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. So they're on the road tonight at Phoenix, their first road game of the season. Clippers won 2 in a row. After they lost their home opener at their new stadium, they went and won 2 on the road. So my son is pretty happy about that. And I like the Thunder. They've been playing really well.
I'm still a Memphis fan. How are they looking?
That's a good question. How has Memphis done to start this season? The answer, Woods, the Memphis Grizzlies are good. 2-1. 2-1.
Okay.
There you go. Behind only the Lakers and the Thunder in the Western Conference. All right. We have one segment left. We do want to preview the World Series Game 3. If you missed it, You want to bring back up Scott Boras's comments just a little bit at the end of the program here?
I mean,
just to reset what he said. We both are on record as to why we think it was unfair and inappropriate of Scott Boras to mention Peter Seidler in context with Juan Soto, and was undoubtedly a strategy to try to, you know, drive up the price of Juan Soto.
It's just gross, man. It's just, the angling that's going on right now during the World Series is not unexpected from Scott Boras, but it's a gross
tactic. But if you missed it, I'll bring up a couple of the quotes that he had in USA Today this morning. I'll get to that coming up next year with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Quick question. Maybe Woods can answer it. Probably directed more towards Paulie, although maybe he's even too old for this one. Can anyone tell me about, I don't know if it's pronounced Saweetie or Sweetie. She was
Saweetie.
Saweetie. Now, she was at the Aztecs game I went to on Saturday night, and quite popular with the kids. She had her backup dancers and did a routine, and they they introduced her as SDSU alum Saweetie, and everyone was really excited to see her. She had some good moves. I think they played some of her music as well. But
she's a
hip-hop musician.
Artist. All right. I had no idea.
Kind of a rising star in the music world. But she was at the Aztecs game on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think she only went there for like a year.
Oh, okay. Not the...
I could be wrong.
Saweetie. Saweetie?
S-A-W-E-E-T-I-E, I believe.
Yeah. Saweetie.
Saweetie. She had some moves, I will say that.
She's good.
I was impressed.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paulie, for getting me up with what the kids are listening to today. All right, we'll check traffic one last time. Here's a one quote I did not read earlier from Scott Boras that I saved. Peter Seidler was not trading Juan Soto. No way. He kept saying, I traded for a franchise. I'm not giving him up. He couldn't believe the Nationals traded Juan Soto. He loved Juan. Part of the context, the story that was written in USA Today.
Gross. Yeah,
I know. It's scrawny, unappealing. Man. Yeah. To read that this morning, and we have a big problem with it, and we're going to bring it back up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Woods, I guess the one thing that we can confirm, because Peter Seidler said it himself, he was a big Juan Soto fan and was very hopeful that, you know, Juan Soto would remain a Padre for a long time, and I think he wanted to do that. But at this point, none of what Scott Boras said to USA Today's Bob Nightingale can really be confirmed, or at least even if it happened, there's no context added to it. And, you know, according to Scott Boras, he said he was deep in contract negotiations with the Padres and Peter to extend Juan Soto and keep him in a Padres uniform, that Juan Soto would not have been traded had Peter Seidler still been alive, and went through this extensively in what both of you and I believe are just part of the psychological games that Scott Boras plays for his clients to try to extract maximum value approaching, you know, major free agency. But ultimately, none of this to me is really advances the story or can ever really shed any light on what was really going on with Peter Seidler and Scott Boras in the days and weeks before Peter Seidler passed away.
And as I said, man, the fact that yesterday it comes out that the Dodgers are in on Juan Soto in the offseason, it's so... Like, if you're a Dodger fan, I don't even know that you can get excited about it. You have to know every offseason you're going to be in on any free agent that you want, right? Like, that goes with the territory. If there's a free agent that Andrew Friedman has identified as somebody that can help us win a World Series, we're going to be in on them. Correct? Everyone agrees with that principle? They can afford it. They can absolutely swing it. Luxury tax, no issue, whatever. So if you're a Dodger fan, don't buy the bait that it comes out 2 days into the World Series that, oh, we're going to be in on this guy. Bro, there's potentially only two games left of the World Series. Scott Boras is trying to up Juan Soto's value, which, again, I don't know how necessary it is. Everybody knows how valuable Juan Soto is going to be. But he's also trying to raise the price on the New York Yankees and the New York Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies, three teams that are on the East Coast that have been rumored to be in on Juan Soto. Business 101. Trust me. Like, anybody that's ever negotiated a contract or has an agent that's negotiated a contract, our agent calls Adam and Michael and says, well, They got 1 foot out the door, guys. I mean, that's just how it goes. It's what you do. It's gross that Boris does this now, and it's gross to me that he invokes the name of Peter Seidler. It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. And the only thing I can think of is that talking about Juan Soto still being a Padre if Peter Seidler was alive just tells the Yankees, well, I guess he was pretty comfortable on the West Coast. We probably do need to make sure we come in at $700 million and Steve Cohen and Dave Dombrowski and all those guys in Philadelphia that want Juan Soto as well. That's all it does for me. It's just a gross way to let everybody know Juan Soto's happy playing on the West. He's happy playing on the East.
I guess the most cynical reading of this, if Scott Boras is to be believed 100%, which I do not, but if he was, it would be that Peter Seidler had a plan and a direction for the organization and was prepared to continue to spend massively every year. And then the second he passed away, the Padres just threw that all out the window and basically said, no, we're going in a completely different direction.
Correct.
Than what Peter Seidler wanted. And that's the part that I think I find the most insulting.
But every other aspect of the organization has been, we are going to fulfill Peter's dream of bringing a World Series to San Diego.
Correct.
And for them to then, you know, 2 weeks after his passing, be like, all right, now we can trade Juan Soto. Because that, if, you know, I do believe that Juan, Peter wanted to keep Juan.
Yeah, I do believe that they were talking about keeping
Juan. I believe AJ wanted to keep him.
100%.
So, and, you know, Peter Seidler was, you know, very wealthy man, as is every owner in Major League Baseball. You know, Peter Seidler was not the standalone. He wasn't the Steve Ballmer of baseball. Steve Ballmer is actually way richer than even the other NBA owners for the most part. Joe Tsai is kind of in that category, but they're you know, for the most part, you know, Peter Seidler was a rich man just like the rest of the owners. To, if you want to say, be critical of the Padres because they're spending less than they were, then be critical of every other team that is not spending, because they all have the means that Peter Seidler has to spend on their team if they wanted to. There was nothing unique about Peter's situation that allowed him to spend where other teams in baseball could not. And I just don't think that it was realistic, even if Peter Seidler was still alive, for the Padres to continue to just up the payroll and sign Juan Soto to a $550, $600 million deal. You know, and they'd already signed Xander Bogaerts at that point, so that he wasn't going anywhere. Manny'd been signed. Fernando Tatis Jr. had been signed. Yu Darvish had been signed. Joe Musgrove has been signed for a long-term deal. I don't know that there was a lot of wiggle room there for the San Diego Padres to make that move and even have a roster, a complementary roster around those players. The closest they came was in 2023, and it didn't work at all in 2023. They turned Juan Soto into the players they needed to make a run, to the point where, and even Skip Schumacher earlier said, I think that was the best team we faced, you know, all season long. Even Dodgers fans going, yeah, the Padres choked. They had us, and, you know, they choked it away. But they had us, and Padres could have been your World Series champion based on what AJ put together by trading Juan Soto. Not,
correct.
Not because, you know, had he just kept Juan Soto, they would have won the World Series easy. No, they got that close because of the Juan Soto trade. There's no other way to really read that.
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, you'd have a roster like you built, but also have Juan Soto. That probably wasn't going to happen. So, but I watch Juan Soto hit in the postseason, Ben. It's a marvel. I mean, he's a marvel. He's built for those moments. He's fantastic at it, and you know, he's kind of the anti Aaron Judge right now for the New York Yankees. You really feel like he's going to do damage when he comes up there, and if he's not, he's going to get on. But getting on in front of Aaron Judge isn't doing much for anybody right now. You need to actually slug if you're Juan Soto. It changes the game a little bit, but yeah, I just. There's no need almost a year later to keep bringing up, you know, Peter Seidler, what he wanted to do and how bummed the Padres are because they can no longer be the Padres without him there.
You mentioned something I did not realize that, so you told me Clark Schmidt, who's the starter for game 3 tonight.
Yeah.
His dad.
That's a pilot.
Is a pilot.
Yeah.
Now he flew the Yankees plane.
Yeah, he flew the plane.
To Los Angeles or back to New York?
To LA.
Now, did they say, well, we didn't do well in Los Angeles, so we need a different pilot? to take us back to New York, or how does that work?
I have no idea. All I know is I saw that that Clark Schmidt, who will be the Game 3 starter tonight, his dad is a pilot and flies. I've flown them before, I think.
Okay. It's, so he works for the company, whatever charter they go with, Delta or whoever it is. He works for them and
I believe
occasionally
it is
gets assigned to his son's flights on the Yankees plane.
Pretty badass.
That is pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. My dad's flying the plane. Oh, yeah? Well, my dad's actually flying us. Oh, your dad threw you batting practice? My dad's flying the plane, buddy. Clark Schmidt's a good pitcher, man. Could be an interesting game tonight. Walker Buehler on the bump for the Dodgers. Has really, really figured it out so far in the postseason. Has been a little bit like the Walker Buehler of old. But tonight is going to be such a must-win in New York. New York has got to bring it, man. They've got to be loud. They got to be New Yorkers. You know, they have to make it uncomfortable for those guys. But the Dodgers right now, the way that they're playing, it doesn't look like anything's getting to them. Honestly, this doesn't look like they're phased by anything. I do expect Shohei in the lineup tonight. Dave Roberts told Carl Ravitch yesterday he's going to be in there for game three. You know, I'm certainly, what is it? It's his left arm?
Left shoulder.
Left shoulder. Try to make him fish for some pitches. He's been doing that a lot. I mean, he's expanded the zone as much as I've ever seen him expand the zone in these last couple series. He's susceptible.
I think we can probably assume that Shohei is not going to feel his best. Well, whether he performs at his best is a different question. So but he won't.
Let me ask you a question here.
Feel his best going into the game today.
Let me ask you a question here. If he gets off a couple of A swings early against Clark Schmidt or the Yankees, you just walk him because you know he's not stealing. He's not running anymore. The running, the Shohei on you is probably not going to happen unless he decides to completely.
Can you not? I mean, I know he was sliding feet first, but
no,
you don't have to jam your shoulder down to steal.
Did he still run?
He went feet first, but he put his left hand down into the dirt, and it jammed up the shoulder, and that's what dislocated it. But as long as you don't stick your left hand in the dirt, you can run. With a dislocated shoulder.
Running's fine.
Yeah, but you can slide feet first.
Do you want him stealing bags with a subluxation?
I don't want him sliding head first, that's for sure.
Do you want him stealing bags?
It's less with likely. A subluxation? You're right. It's less likely that he's going to steal bags.
Right.
So a walk is less dangerous than it was. I will concede that point to you. I don't think it's impossible. He thought, I got a great jump. I'm going to take this pretty easily. I can go in sliding. Just don't jam my left arm into anything as I go down.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, it is easier said than done.
Easier said than done.
Just like it was easy to tell Fernando when he had his subluxation, hey, don't one hand follow through. Yeah. You know, keep your hand on the bat. And it was like, he tried, but he still ended up doing the one hand follow through because it's instinct, it's natural. And I would imagine for Shohei, he'll have to overcome some of those natural instincts as well.
Yeah, you wonder how the swing's going to feel, you know, how that's going to be. I'm just trying to think. Your left shoulder subluxated?
Subluxed?
Subluxed.
You got it.
Yeah, you just got subluxed. My left shoulder is totally subluxed right now. I don't know if I can swing. Of course he's going to be in there, and of course he's going to, you know, you have to game plan for him. But you do wonder, man, are they going to completely shut him down on the base paths?
I do think that, and I said it last week, if the Yankees really wanted a good chance to win this series, game one was the one they had to take. And they had it.
They had it.
They had it a couple of times, 2-1 in the 8th, 3-2 in the 10th.
Man. Killed
and
you.
When they couldn't get that done, I could not see the path to victory. Obviously, any path to victory for the Yankees now does involve winning tonight, in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, if Walker Buehler pitches well, Clark Schmidt is a good pitcher. But, you know, the Yankees held the Dodgers down in game one to 2 runs until they put 4 on the board on the last swing. They scored 6 there.
Yankees bullpen's been outstanding.
They scored 4. I mean, they've held the Dodgers. 6-4 is holding the Dodgers in check. But they pretty much averaged 5 runs for the playoffs. Yeah. They've averaged 5 runs in the first 2 games. They're probably going to get close to 5 again tonight against Clark Schmidt. Are they going to be able to score more than 5 against Walker Buehler in that Dodgers bullpen?
If Aaron Judge starts to hit.
Yeah, that's the thing. They can. Padres did it. They scored 6 in 1 inning off Walker Buehler. It's possible. But if they don't get to Walker Buehler and they've only got 1 or 2 runs, and then they got to figure, we need at least 3 or 4 more to win this game against the Dodgers bullpen,
Yeah, I mean,
then the Yankees are in a lot of trouble.
You know, Walker's ERA is inflated because of that one bad inning, but he went four scoreless against the Mets, six Ks, getting swing and misses again. He's been good, you know, outside of that one inning that, again, probably wasn't his fault. It was Miguel Rojas and kind of a seeing eye 20 hopper down the line on a gimpy Freddie Freeman, couldn't make the play. And yeah, man, it's just, who can hit tonight? Who can hit? If Aaron Judge comes through tonight, I think the Yankees can win. If he doesn't, they're not going to. They're going nowhere without their captain leading them.
I think the other concern is even if Shohei Ohtani, for some reason, was out, like they show up today and Dave had been playing the con and he's not even playing the rest of the series, they have enough to win two of five games even without him.
There is no doubt.
That's deep team. That's the mountain that the Yankees now face. But they do have the next three at home.
What happens? What do you guys got?
I got the Yanks tonight.
Dodgers. Go ahead, put up the blue screen one more time for me.
You can't stop rooting for the Dodgers.
Wrap up the show.
This is unbelievable.
Turn your mic off.
Oh, there it is. So long, everybody.